Again, I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder of Remnant Revival Ministries and End Time Headlines. And we welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm going to be talking about a particular subject that is really, this has been on my heart for many years. This came up in my spirit over this past weekend. We ministered in Cordon, Indiana again this past weekend at God's Church out there and had a wonderful time, packed house. Very powerful move of God. People got touched. The altars, people were coming to the altars, getting touched by the Lord. And just a very, very good time we had there in the Lord. And during that, even during that service, I thought about this message today. So I want to talk about imparting into the next generation, imparting into the next generation. Why I feel like this is important, why we need to be paying attention to this as a church, as a church culture, as leaders in the church, as elders in the church, as pastors in the church. We need to be focused on this. I believe once we reach a certain age and a certain time that we've walked with the Lord and we've grown in our walk with the Lord, there comes a time when inevitably we got our focus and our shift should be imparting to the next generation or passing the baton. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about today. And I believe in the earth today, prophetically speaking, I believe the Lord is raising up in this hour more leaders that are catching this this urgency in their spirit. Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6 really talks about this. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming in the great and terrible, dreadful day of the Lord." Now, this is talking about the literal. I believe Elijah the prophet is literally one of the two witnesses mentioned in Revelation chapter 11. So I believe Elijah is one of those prophets. So there's going to be a literal returning of Elijah, but there's also going to be a spirit and anointing of Elijah. Now, we saw this, and it was being demonstrated through John the Baptist and his ministry. Even the word of the Lord says that John came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. Okay? Now, what does that mean? It means that the characteristics in which when he ministered, when he was effective, the characteristics and the attributes that came from his ministry were evident in the life of Elijah. And he tells you what some of these are. Even in here in this verse in Malachi 4, it says that one of the things that he will do when he comes, he will turn the hearts of fathers to the children and children to the fathers. Now, how many believes we need this anointing? We need a revival of the spirit of Elijah in this generation, because if anything, we're seeing the opposite of this as a whole going on right now in the world. We're seeing fathers turning from children, children turning from fathers, fathers turning against children, children turning against fathers. And again, that's prophetic speaking. Prophetically speaking, that's one of the indicators of the coming of the Lord, according to Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. It talks about there will be great division in the households. Mothers will turn against fathers, fathers against mothers, and mothers against children, and fathers against children, children against their parents. Okay? But what the Spirit and the anointing of Elijah does, it comes to a generation. It comes to a group of individuals, and it turns them back to, come on, the previous generation, and it turns the previous generation's heart to the next generation. So there's a mending or a bridging, if you would, of two generations. There's not a divide. There's not a separation. All right? There's a merging or a bridging. And that's what this says in Malachi 4. Now, I want to show you a picture. I believe it's a prophetic picture. When you go to 2 Kings chapter 4, we see where there is a boy who's dead. He's lying dead. He's lifeless in the bed. His life has left him. There's no life in him. And the prophet Elijah, consequently, goes up into this upper room where in which this child is lying on the bed, and he does something very odd, if you would, or very unique. The Bible says in 2 Kings 4:34, he went up and laid upon the child. Now, there's so much prophetic language in this that I want to pull this out. First of all, notice that Elijah had to go up. He had to go up. So in order for us, listen, guys, I want to talk to the older generation, myself and those that are older listening to this. You've been in the Lord 30 years, 40 years. You're 40 years of age. You're 35 years of age and older. Okay? We got to get into a place in the Lord where we're going up. We're going up in our walk with God. We're scaling higher in the Lord. Our level is going up and not down. Are we growing in the Lord? Are we going in higher levels of intimacy? Are we having that Mount of Transfiguration moment? Are we having that Mount Sinai moment where we're saying, Lord, show me your glory? Because we cannot affect, listen, we're not going to be effective to the next generation unless we're going up in Him, unless we're going higher in Him, unless our walk with the Lord is being elevated in Him. There's a place in Him where we can, when we come down, everybody around us knows that we've been going up and we've been up with Him. Remember when Abraham was about to go up and have an encounter with the Lord, he told some individuals, you wait here while the lad and I go up. Not everybody can go where you're going. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord dealt with me this weekend. He says, you're not going to be effective to the next generation if you're not willing to go higher with me, because you can't pour out to them what you don't get in Him when you go higher with Him. Come on, somebody. So Elijah went up, and then he laid upon the child. That brings me to my next point. What are we as the previous generation? What is the previous generation willing to lay down for the next generation? Oh, let me say it again. What is us representing the previous generation, the present generation? What is this present generation willing to lay down for the next generation to pick up? Notice it says, he laid upon the child, and this is where it gets a little odd. It says that his mouth was upon his mouth, his eyes was upon his eyes, and his hands was upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child. So there's three things here: his mouth, his eyes, and his hands. It was mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, and hands to hands. I believe these three represent three things that this previous generation or this present generation is going to have to do and impart to the next generation. You ready for this? If you're taking notes, watch this. The mouth represents the testimony. It represents our testimony, guys. Listen, if you want to touch the next generation, you begin to tell of the wondrous works of the Lord and what He and the works that God wrought through you and through your generation. I don't know about you, but I love picking up old books, and I love picking up old testimonials and listening to old videos and old messages from the generals of the faith and from the reformers and from those of old, the revivalists. And they begin to, in fact, last night I sat down and I listened to a 30-minute video by the late Steve Hill, the revivalist Steve Hill, that was influential in the Brownsville Revival from 1995 to 2000. And he began to talk about one after another. He began to talk about testimony after testimony and how God moved upon this individual and how God performed a miracle in this individual. And what did that do? It began to build up my faith. It began to increase my faith. It began to bring me to that next level of my walk with God. So guys, My 10-year-old son loves when I sit around and talk about testimonies. Even this past weekend when I ministered in Corden, Indiana, we told multiple testimonies. I shared multiple testimonies of how God moved here and what he did here and how he did a miracle there. And I looked and I saw my son was just intrigued and he was listening. He never gets tired of hearing these stories. He loves hearing the miracles of God. He loves hearing the revival stories. He loves hearing salvation stories and healing stories. Why? Because it builds up his faith. Remember when Joshua sent the two, when he sent the two spies out, or when he sent the two men out this secretly in the stealth of the night. Remember when Rahab was there and she hid the two men and she told the two men, she said, When we heard about what your God did and what he did through you and how you slew the giants and how you scaled the walls and how you, the Red Sea was parted and how he led Israel out of captivity and led them through the wilderness through a fire by night and a cloud by day and how he dropped manna from heaven. The Bible says that Rahab said, did our hearts not melt in us? There was no strength left in us when we heard of the great things in which the Lord has done through you. Guys, we always got to have a testimony. And you say, well, brother, I don't have a testimony. Well, it's time to step out of the boat. It's time to step out of the comfort zone. It's time to go higher in him. It's time to get prayed up. It's time to get him to equip you and go out the door and start getting your own testimonies. Friends, if you don't have a test, you don't have a testimony. If you're not willing to come on, step out of your comfort zone and begin to reach somebody outside of the four walls of your church, then you're never going to have a testimony. If you're not willing to lay hands on the sick, you can't expect them to recover. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about mouth to mouth speaking. Come on. We've got to impart from one generation to another generation the testimonies of God, the great things of God. I want to hear the millennials, come on, that are fire branded, that are sold out to God. I know that a lot of people want to bash them and trash them and say there's nothing good in them, but come on, I don't believe the report of the enemy. I believe the report of the Lord, and I've seen it with my own eyes. In fact, there will be thousands upon thousands of them flooding Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee next weekend that are hungry and that are eager and that want a real, true, genuine move of God. So don't tell me there is no hope for this generation. Don't tell me that we're lost and hopeless with the millennial generation. That is not true, guys. There is always a remnant. Just ask Elijah that when he was ready to throw in the towel. The Lord spoke to him and said, there's a remnant. There's at least 7,000 if not bowed their knee to Baal. So get up and keep going on. So look, guys, don't base and set your hope upon what the television tells you or what news media tells you or what negativity is out there. There is a remnant. Come on, I laid hands on some of them this weekend and prayed for them. So don't tell me there's not a remnant out there that are not hungry for the real thing and the real deal and want a real move of God. We got to recognize this. The Bible says, look up, lift up your heads and look upon the harvest field, for the harvest surely is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In other words, it implies that it's not we don't have a problem with the harvest. We have a problem with the laborers. We have a problem with those in the present tense that are willing, come on, we have a problem with those that are not willing, rather, to go higher in him, lay down their agenda, lay down their lives, and in order for them to stretch out mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, and hands to hand. So number one, again, we have to be a generation that pours into the next generation. Come on, our mouth is used to speak the word of God. Speak over them. Decree over them. Declare over them. Jonathan Edwards, one of the great men of God, that began, he preached hell so strong that the participants, those who were in the audience, swore that they felt the very flames of hell coming up from underneath them, and they would grasp their chairs. He preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, and people used to think he was a bitter and angry man. But the fact is, every single day he would lay hands on his children, and he would love them, and he would bless them, and he would affirm them. And out of his seed, out of his loins, his own seed produced great men and women of God. Come on, from generations to come. Why? Because he was willing to open up his mouth and impart to the next generation. He realized that it didn't stop with him. When he died, when he went on to be with the Lord, it wasn't going to stop with him. He recognized that he can't leave it in him, but he's got to impart it to the next generation. That leads me to the next part, eyes. The Bible says that Elijah was eye to eye to the younger lad, the lad that lay dead, the lad that lay lifeless, the lad that laid breathless. I know, and this is the perception that we have with this generation, guys. It appears like it's lifeless. It appears like it's cold. It appears like there's no breath in it. Come on, it's like Ezekiel's bones. This next generation seems like it's Ezekiel's bones. Well, what are you going to do about it, church? Are we gonna bury the bones? Are we gonna be as the prophet and stand over the bones and begin to prophesy? These bones shall live. They shall stand upon their feet. They shall breathe again. Blood shall flow through them again. Come on. The Spirit of God shall move through them again. So the next part is eyes. The Bible says Elijah laid eyes to eyes with the lad. See, this is where I believe that we parallel Joel chapter 2 into this thing, because the Bible says in the last days, and I believe we're in it, and we've been in it since Joel 2. That's when it was initiated, and it's been poured out, and it's still being poured out. He says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters shall prophesy. And it says, your young men shall have visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Come on, guys. Listen, we've got to have the older generation that are pouring out. They're sharing their dreams with the younger generation, who are the visionaries of the church. Come on. The older generation are the dreamers, and the younger generation are the visionaries. Oh, y'all don't know, y'all, you ain't hearing me. See, listen, I know what it's like. I'm 42 years of age. And many times I'll catch myself dreaming about what God used to do and how he used to move and what he did in times past. But my son's generation is not dreaming about, they're not dreaming about what God used to do, but they have a vision. They're visionaries of what God is doing, what he wants to do, how he wants to move, how he wants to pour out his spirit. Come on, are you hearing me today? So here's the key, guys. We don't remove one and embrace the other and remove that one and embrace the other. There needs to be a merging. Look, eye to eye, one generation to the next generation, older with the younger. Come on, come on, young people. I want you to dream with me, but I want to have a vision like you've got. Golly. See, this is Caleb. This is the Caleb generation. This is what Calebs do. Calebs, they have the dreams because they've fought the giants, they've scaled the walls, they destroyed the ites, and they've done it in the name of the Lord. So they have the dreams under the belt. They can lay down at night and they can begin to dream about the victories in which they've achieved through the Lord God. They can tell their testimonies to their sons and to their daughters, but they are also visionaries, and it, despite how old they are, come on, they're still willing to take their mountain and say, I know that I'm not like, I'm not, I don't have the strength like I used to. I'm not young like I used to. I'm not vibrant like I used to. I can't praise like I used to. I can't worship like I used to. I can't pray all night like I used to. I can't fast like I used to. But I'm going to tell you something, deep down on the inside, I've still got a fight in me. I've still got a vision in me. And I just so happen to believe in the promises of God that are yes and amen. And to those that believe, and I believe if God spoke it, despite my age, despite my circumstances, despite if the womb looks like it's closed up or it's dead or it's infertile, come on, Abraham and Sarah, despite what everybody else says around me, come on, if there's something on the inside of you that can still catch the vision of what God is doing in the earth today and what he wants to do, then friends, don't let somebody talk you out of your mountain. You scale that mountain and you take that mountain in the name of the Lord. But friends, we need each other. I need the next generation and the next generation needs me. Come on, come on. Where's my praying grandmas at? My praying grandfathers at? Where's the mamas? Where's the daddies? We need you in the trenches to teach the next generation of intercessors how to intercede. We need that one generation to teach the next generation on how to pray, on how to fast, on how to give, on how to contend, on how, come on somebody, to keep in the battle and keep fighting. Whew. I thank God for some saints of God, women and men of God that God has put in my life so that when I'm going through a storm, when I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through something, when I'm in a valley, I can look at them and talk to them and they'll set me down at lunch and they'll sit around with me and they'll say, listen, son, I've been where you've been. I've been on the other side of this thing. I've gone through this. And look what the Lord has done. He saw me through. He brought me out. We went through it. We went over it. And we've come out on the other side. Come on, somebody. That's why we need each other. Number three, it says he laid hands upon hands. Somebody say hands upon hands. It was eyes upon eyes, mouth upon mouth, and hands upon hands. I believe, listen, I'm just crazy enough to believe what Jesus said to the disciples. That includes you and me. He said, greater works shall you do because he said, greater works shall you do than these. And he's talking about the miracles that they saw him do. We're talking about casting out the dead or casting out the devil. We're talking about raising the dead. We're talking about healing the sick. We're talking about doing great, mighty things, extraordinary things, creative miracles, the multiplication of the fish and bread. We're talking about raising a boy up that was in a funeral procession and he touched the coffin and the boy was raised to life. We're talking about a man that was four days dead, stinking in a tomb with a rock laid in front of it and he spoke his name and he rose from the dead. We're talking about a man who rebuked storms. And he looks at the disciples and said, it's expedient for me to go away. It's expedient. It's necessary for me to endure the cross. It's necessary for me to go back unto the Father because when the Spirit of God comes, and he's already come, he's already been poured out, he's waiting for you to receive him, the Spirit of truth, whom the world does not know and they cannot receive, whom you will know and you do know because he comes from the Father. Jesus said, greater works shall you do because I go unto my Father. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and quickens this mortal body. What am I trying to say? What are you trying to say, Brother Ricky? I'm trying to tell you the hands represent this. It represents the anointing that you have on your life, the gifts that God has given you in your life. Come on, somebody. The calling that God has entrusted you with. Come on. It's time that you begin to lay down your life so that the next generation can walk in greater than what you ever walked in. You do realize that Elijah understood this. And this is why when Elisha was chasing after a double portion of his anointing, and Elijah said, if you're willing to serve me, if you're willing to lay it all down for me, if you see me when I go, you shall indeed receive that which you ask for. And we know the story, guys. Elisha ended up getting the double portion of the mantle of Elijah. And the Bible, and you can study it out yourself, he performed 16 miracles documented in the Word of God, which was exactly double the amount that Elijah did. Oh, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, instead of keeping your hands wrapped around a microphone or around a pulpit or around a camera, come on, why don't you take those hands off of your platform, off your popularity, off your prestige? Take those hands, begin to lay it on the next generation and say, God, I want to see my sons and daughters do greater than whatever I have done. I want to see them achieve far, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could even ask or think, according to the very power that works within them. Is there anybody listening to this today? I want to see my sons see and do and operate in greater than anything I've ever seen in my life, and what the Lord permits me to see, whether he comes and I go to be with the Lord, or whether he catches me up or I go and pass and go on to be with the Lord. Nevertheless, I want to leave a legacy to the next generation. And this is the problem, guys. I see. It grieves me when I go to a church and the entire church, guys, is one particular age and there's no young people. And here's why it grieves me, because I know, and in reality is, if you sit down with them and talk to them and be real about it, they would admit this, that when they all go on to be with the Lord, who is going to be the next generation that's going to take the baton and carry the vision of the church, carry the mandate of the church? Come on, somebody. So we've got to be pouring out and raising up and equipping the next generation. All right. How long have I gone? 28 minutes. My goodness. I may have to make this a two-part message. Let me do that. I'm going to do a two-part message on this. So we'll break this down. I'll finish the second part of this on Thursday, okay, because I don't want to go too far. But listen, Thursday, when I continue this message, I'm going to go to the book of 1 Timothy. Now, Paul represents the older generation. Timothy represents the younger generation. And I'm going to show you what Paul did. And I want to show you something he spoke to Timothy, and I want to show you how Paul understood what I'm sharing with you today. Paul understood this, and he acted upon it. He activated what we're talking about today. He poured into his son, his spiritual son, Timothy, and Paul being the spiritual father of Timothy. It was from one generation to the next generation. So again, I don't have time to go into all this. There's no way I can develop all this today because of sake of time. But we're gonna continue this on Thursday. So don't miss this. But let me pray real quick, guys. Real quick before we pray, remnantrevival.org, remnantrevival.org. That is our main website for our ministry website. Our information website is endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.org or endtimeheadlines.com. You can find our information arm there, and you can find our ministry arm at remnantrevival.org, and that's where you're going to find us there. If you'd like, listen, if you If you support what we do, if you stand behind our vision statement, our mission statement, and you want to partner with us, whether it be a monthly support, whether it be a one-time gift, if this is your home church, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, you be obedient, you pray, you be obedient to what God speaks to you. And I want you to sow into this ministry as the Lord puts it upon your heart. Listen, guys, we sell no merchandise. Listen, when I travel and speak to churches, I don't have a merchandise table. I don't sell CDs, DVDs, books. Listen, I'm not bashing or trashing any ministries that do that. If they do that, praise God. That's awesome. Whatever helps them support their ministry. But we don't do that. That's just not what we do. So we rely on people that hear from the Holy Spirit. Lives, it's been changed, transformed, equipped, edified, informed. If you've been blessed, just we ask that you be a blessing back. You just sow. The Bible says, he who supplies seed to the sower will supply an abundance of seed so that he may be blessed with a more efficiency to do what God's called him to do. That's kind of paraphrasing that, not word for word from the New King James or the King James, but it was a little bit of a paraphrase of that scripture. But nevertheless, we thank you. We appreciate your support, your prayers, your giving to this ministry. And again, you'll never know from the bottom of my heart, guys, what that means to us. And we could not do what we're doing if it had not been and it was not for your support to this ministry. Guys, here's what I want to pray. If you're watching this today and you are 35 years or older, this message was more geared to you. If you're younger than 35 years of age, you are the generation that we want to pour into. We're passing the baton to you. And this is what we're asking. We're asking that you reach out your hand by faith and begin to unite. Listen, there's so much division in the church. We're divided over everything. People want to sit and strive and discord and defamation and disunity and this. They want to argue over this and that and semantics of words and how are we supposed to baptize and what name we baptize and this. I mean, there's so many denominational differences. Guys, it's time that we come. We've got to have two generations that merge together in agreement and agree together that we've got to see a move of God, a true, genuine move of God. Listen, friends, here's the bottom line. If we do not experience another awakening like we saw in the first and second great awakenings, guys, then we are in deep trouble in America. I don't know if you keep up with our information side of End Time Headlines, but if you do, then you know what I'm talking about. Just in Russia, Putin just signed laws into place where they are going to implement heavy fines and even jail time to journalists who propagate fake news and anyone who speaks out on social media, websites, blogs, social media. If they speak out against the Russian government, then there will be consequences. Now, how long do you think it's going to be until it comes here? Brother Ricky's trying to tell you is that if we don't wake up and put these petty things aside and begin to lock arms together, begin to pray, begin to intercede, come on, older generation, and be willing to lay your agenda down, your platform down, your time down. Lay it down for the next generation so that when the time comes, whether you go here, you go there, or you go in the air, and we depart, the next generation can take up the mantle, take up the baton, take up your vision, take up, come on, the mission statement and continue. Listen, guys, if the Lord tarries and I go on to be with the Lord, I'm praying that one or both of my sons carry on our ministry. They carry it on. They keep ministering. They keep on doing what God has called us. The work that it began in us, I pray that they are faithful to finish or complete it until the day of the redemption of the Lord. Amen. So this is what we want to pray. Father, Lord, I pray for both generations today. God, as us as the older generation, help us to acknowledge the younger generation. Help us to see those lads in which are laying lifeless and no breath in them. Lord, they're left cold and everybody is stepping over them. Everybody is ignoring them and rejecting them. But God, we choose. Lord, help us to lay ourselves down to that generation. Help us to pour into it. Help us to cast our vision to that generation. Lay our hands on that generation. Impart to that generation. Speak into that generation. Prophesy into that generation. Run alongside that generation. And Lord, and see them and help them accomplish what God has called them to do, and greater works and greater miracles and greater effectiveness and greater missionary work and greater evangelism and more souls being won to the kingdom of God and greater influence for the kingdom than the previous generation. And I pray that this younger generation, God, would open their eyes and they would acknowledge the elders. They would acknowledge the fathers, the mothers, the Pauls, that the Timothys would acknowledge the Pauls, and that they would align themselves up with a Paul that they would sit under and let that Paul pour into them. Let that Paul pour into them, encourage them, equip them, and pour into them to that next generation so that you can be equipped, so that you can be properly trained, so you can be seasoned as a young man or a young woman of God, that God is training you up. The one day that you will be a pastor, that one day you want to be an evangelist or an apostle or a prophet or a teacher or whatever God's called you to be, a missionary perhaps, or maybe a Sunday school teacher or whatever the case may be, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. Guys, hold on for a second. I felt led. I want to share something real quick. I know this is kind of spontaneous. But I want to share something that I shared on my personal page, and it flows right in with this. I didn't expect to do this, or I would have been ready to share this. So just bear with me just for a second. It won't take long. I want to share something. Where is it at? I shared this on my personal page. Here it is. There was a man by the name of Edward Kimball. A man by the name of Edward Kimball. Most people's never heard of him. But this man led a man by the name of D.L. Moody. You ever heard of D.L. Moody? Come on. If you know anything about revivalists, reformers, you're going to know the name D.L. Moody. But this man, Edward Kimball, led D.L. Moody to the Lord. Under D.L. Moody's ministry, a man by the name of Wilbur Chapman was saved. Now, under Wilbur Chapman's ministry, a man by the name of Billy Sunday was converted to the Lord under Chapman's preaching. And through Billy Sunday's preaching and ministry, a man by the name of Mordecai Ham was saved. And you say, who? Exactly. Mordecai Ham was saved. Now listen to this. Under Mordecai Ham's ministry and his obedience to the Lord over what was little, a young man by the name of Billy Graham happened to come to one of Ham's crusades, give his heart to the Lord, and perhaps you know the fruit of the ministry of Billy Graham. What I'm trying to tell you is, guys, it doesn't matter how small, minute, or insufficient your ministry may look, your influence may look. Well, you don't know, brother, I've got a Sunday school of two people. Really? Well, what if it was Billy Graham in there? Again, we never know, guys. If I would have listened to all the naysayers who told me that media ministry, reaching people on YouTube, reaching people on Facebook is fruitless and it's not effective and I might as well give it up and throw in the towel. Guys, do you realize how many people I would miss on the day that I stand before the Lord. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your riches. And when the crowns begin to hand out, I believe with all my heart, there is going to be a multitude of people standing there that I have never met on this side of heaven. I've never spoken to them. I've never shaken their hand. I've never had lunch with them. I've never been in a service with them, but they've been overseas. They've been, come on, they were behind a camera. They were in an office. They were in a car, they were listening by YouTube, or they happened to watch by Facebook. I remember years ago, a woman in Pennsylvania says she was listening to one of the messages that I preached. She said her two daughters were listening to the message with her. The Spirit of the Lord moved through the message, through the camera, through YouTube, began to convict the whole family. Her two daughters, which were under the age of 10 years of age, both came to her mother and said, mother, and when I was leading them I was leading them a prayer, leading them to the Lord, these two daughters of this woman came to her and said, we want to pray with him and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Friends, listen, I don't care what the devil brings. I don't care what kind of hate mail we get. I don't care what kind of poo-poo you want to give on Facebook and what kind of negativity you want to give to our ministry. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's all worth it when we receive testimonies like that. I'm trying to tell you, friends, don't throw in the towel just because you don't have a pulpit, don't have a microphone, don't have a Facebook ministry. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, I wish she was with us Sunday morning, because I preached this message down there this past Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you, quit looking for somewhere that God can use you. Come on and let God use you where you are, and whether it's in Walmart, whether it's in a parking lot, whether it's in an office, whether it's in a homeless shelter, whether it's in a recovery center, it's in your family, at your job, in the airport, in the airplane, in the hub, whatever it is. Come on, you are the hands and feet of the gospel. And I'm telling you, friends, we have got to impart this to the next generation, to get outside of the four walls, because the last time I checked in this word, it says, go ye into all the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap or a praise or a thank you, Jesus, or thank you, Holy Ghost, or something right here. Come on, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for this message that you've entrusted me with to speak to the people. I pray, Lord, that people's hearts are changed, they're transformed. Lord, if there's anybody watching this today, I pray the Spirit of God convict them, Lord, arrest them and bring them back into the fold, that they would repent right where they're at, right there watching by Facebook, by YouTube. Lord, that they would get their heart back right with God and they'd come back home, come back into the arms of the Father. If there's anybody watching today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to challenge you today. This is what you do, friends. It's not that complicated. Right where you're at, you just, come on, just bow your head and begin to pray. Just say, Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. I've been doing things my own way, living the way I want to live, and I'm tired of running from you. I can only sin so much. My body can't take much more. My wallet can't take much more. My family's falling apart. I'm tired of sinning, and I'm ready to come into your kingdom. I ask that you'd forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me and wash me of my sins. Make me whole today. Show me a church I can get involved in, a pastor I can serve, and show me a group of people that I can get connected with. Lord, let me read your Bible and speak to me day by day. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and use me for your glory in Jesus' name. Guys, it's that simple. If you did that today, please let me know. Email me, message me, endtimeheadlines@yahoo.com. You can message us on our Remnant Revival site or ETH, or you can Facebook message us, whatever the case may be. We want to welcome you into the family today if it was your first time. But nevertheless, guys, we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off today, but we will be back on here for the second part of this message on Thursday. God bless. We'll see you then.